Welcome to the Tech Policy Podcast. I'm Evan Schwartzschrauber. On today's show, the German election. Germans head to the polls this weekend. What does it mean for tech policy in Germany and around the world? Joining me to discuss this is my good friend Julia Schütze, project manager of the Transatlantic Cyber Forum at SNV, a German think tank. Julia, thanks for joining the show.
Thanks for having me.
Since I didn't want to butcher the name of your think tank, I left it up to the native speaker. So why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners where you work?
Stiftung Neue Verantwortung.
Of course, who hasn't heard of it? Angela Merkel, Chancellor of Germany, she's been kind of a powerhouse for many years there. And anytime it seems that she might be struggling with her popularity over things like immigration and refugees, she seems to just make it through. And it looks like all signs point to her winning this weekend. And are we essentially just looking at kind of a status quo? Like, are we going to have an election and then Germany's just going to be kind of the same as it was before the weekend?
I would hope not. But your judgment is kind of true with Merkel, at least. But I think what the German public is kind of feeling right now is we want to have security, so we want to kind of continue the path we have, but we also want change. So what we are most likely going to see is that the number of parties in parliament will increase, maybe up to 7. And then it will really be up to how many percentage does Merkel's party get, and then any of the opposition's parties right now, or even the new addition, the FDP, is probably going to come back into parliament, and they could be a coalition party for Merkel as well. So
Merkel's party is the CDU, that's the Christian Democratic Union, as we say it in English, and she's currently in a coalition with the SPD. Is it SPD or SDP?
Yeah, the Social Democrats.
Right, okay. So, you know, when it comes to technology policy, what is the reigning government's, you know, policy for tech? And are we going to see any change after this weekend?
So what happened actually in the past few months is not a very good development for tech policy if it comes to security, surveillance, government hacking, kind of boosting the power government has. So the coalition, which is in power right now, passed a number of reforms, regulations, and even created some institutions for security, and thereby kind of really not focusing or balancing out freedom and privacy. So there, all opposition parties are really important, and if an opposition party or the FDP as well would go into a coalition with Merkel, this could be a change for tech policy in that way, so that we would actually have a more freedom-oriented and privacy-oriented security policy using tech.
And the German people do care a lot about surveillance, maybe more so than Americans, and that's partly informed by their history. And, you know, you were born right after the Berlin Wall fell, but, you know, your family grew up in East Germany, so you know all about the concerns with the Stasi. And is there anxiety about the idea of government becoming more offensive with hacking? We talk about government hacking in the United States, too, as an alternative to undermining encryption. You know, we've had a lot of debates about whether encryption should be banned or changed, or there should be backdoor loopholes that the NSA can have. And that debate has died down a little bit, but a lot of folks think that in its place, we're going to have a discussion about, okay, if we're not going to give government the keys, they're going to just have to be allowed to hack, to gather data, to investigate crimes. I mean, how is that conversation playing out in Germany right now?
I think that's definitely something discussed and also acted on in Germany already. So Germany presents itself as like the encryption, first encryption country. So encryption company number one or so. It was like a kind of campaign too by the government in the past months.
Yeah, it's kind of like a pro-tech thing, right?
Yes,
you know, it's a good place to start a company. It's a good place to do technology.
Yes, but then at the same time, they amended the law, which now really intensified government hacking powers. So we really have to deal with the reality that the arguments of going dark and security are really important, and immigration policy is, and also the threat of terrorism is a huge campaign topic right now. It's not necessarily tech policy, but in the back, you know, law enforcement agencies really wanted to have more power to tackle the going dark problem. So they passed an amendment to a law which allows government hacking not only for cases like severe danger and terrorism, but also, for example, for tax evasion, money laundering, cases like that. And that's really speaking against a federal constitutional court decision in 2008 and 2016, which grants people the right to integrity and confidentiality in electronic systems. So that will be something very interesting to see in the future if this broader government hacking powers will be kept by.
And that's kind of interesting because, as you know, we've talked about this a little bit in preparation for today's show, how security is such a big issue, physical security, especially in a world where a terrorist attack can happen at any moment. And Europe in particular has gone through a couple of rough patches over the past couple of years, Germany included, Spain, France. But of course, there are people who are willing to make the trade-off for privacy for security. But that is because they believe that the tools they are giving to the government will be used narrowly for counterterrorism, for national security. When you get into things like tax evasion or even drugs, do the German people then say, whoa, that is not why we want you to have those powers. You are now using them in exactly the way that we don't want you to use them, to essentially just for any law enforcement purpose, however mundane, and there's nothing about someone avoiding their taxes that really puts my life in danger in probably 99.9% of cases. So is that kind of like a bait and switch that the government has done there, where they say we needed these powers for counterterrorism, but they really want those powers for more reasons?
Yes, I think they really gave in to the pressure they got from law enforcement agencies. And the way they amended this law and kind of made it equal to any kind of other telecommunications surveillance, like the traditional kind of, like, you know, I mean, not many people use text messages anymore, but it's kind of governed that way now. That is problematic. And there was a huge backlash by civil society groups and the Lawyers Association as well. The problem was just that they kind of sneaked it into a law which was already on the table in parliament. So there wasn't that much time to really comment and get it into the mainstream debate.
Oh, we've seen that in the United States, where amendments are thrown onto a bill that might not even have anything to do with the amendment. And it is quite unfortunate or have anything to do with the bill. It's not germane to the issue at hand. And it's quite unfortunate that Germany has followed in our footsteps with using these little legislative tricks to deceive people. But I'm kind of wondering why this maybe isn't more of an issue in the election, this, you know, these tech issues. I get that security is really important, immigration, things like that. But, you know, tell me about this pilot project in Berlin. You know, we've got the iPhone came out recently, the new one. It's got facial recognition to unlock the phone, and everyone's either saying, oh, that's convenient, or oh, that's creepy. But, you know, if the iPhone can use facial recognition to just for unlocking your phone, just imagine what government could do with the same software. To what extent have Germans been, caught up in facial recognition efforts ostensibly to combat terrorism?
Yeah, so that's another funny thing which just happened before the election. And I think it's kind of a stunt as well by the CDU kind of saying, yeah, we are really doing something about security here and we're trying these new software. So there's a train station in Berlin now, which for the next few months, there are cameras for facial recognition. It's a pilot project, and there are around like 275 people who really signed up. They were actually approached by policemen saying, oh yeah, you can get a voucher if you join this pilot project.
A voucher for what?
A voucher for taking part. So they're actually wearing a transponder. So every time they are entering the train station, the law enforcement will also know, okay, they're in there, and they are already like taking photos of beforehand. So they're really in the pilot project. And then obviously there are all these people who are caught by the camera just being on the train station.
And, wait, so the voucher is just a, like, thanks for doing this. You don't even get like free beer or pretzels.
Yeah, so you get like
a voucher. People must be really patriotic.
You get a voucher for a technology or so. So I don't really know what exactly they got. But
doesn't sound like the
greatest. Yeah, so that's also kind present. Of iffy already. And then the problem is that they really didn't really inform these people about the data protection they would get, what would actually be done. There's not necessarily very good evaluation criteria, which would determine if this pilot project or empirically really does make sense and does help something. So, so what they're really trying to achieve with this is that it is great, and then they can do predictive policing, and then they implement it in all train stations in Berlin, which the Association for Lawyers and then also all opposition parties argued this like pilot project really has to stop. There was no broad societal debate about this, if we want this, if they can use these tools, and they are like missing safeguards.
And part of the issue might be because there's an election and they're trying to like rush these things through to gain traction or positive press, that they're essentially sacrificing regular order and the legislative process in order to just get it in before the weekend. So we've covered, you know, so far government hacking, facial recognition, and in theory, those things are really about protecting people's physical safety, right? Protecting them from attacks or physical harm. But then there's also the election itself, right? And, you know, our episode before this one was about online voting. And we talked about how there's concerns about cybersecurity. The United States election was characterized by Russian meddling and faulty voting machines and all sorts of potential problems with voting in a very decentralized system. Now, it's my understanding that Germany does not operate its elections on a hyper-local level the way that the United States does, where every single county or state has its own weirdness, right? It seems like a much more centralized system. Is the integrity of the election result a talking point in Germany right now? We know that countries like Russia have an incentive to, I mean, frankly, I wouldn't be saying anything too crazy here to say that Putin and Merkel probably don't get along that well, right? So, you know, maybe he doesn't want her in office. I don't know. But are people worried about the results being tampered with or the votes actually being switched? Not necessarily to mean Merkel wouldn't win. I think that would raise a lot of eyebrows, but it might change the makeup of the parliament. And as you said, you might have seven parties coming in. Maybe it tips the scales one way or another. Is that a concern?
I think it's definitely a concern just because we've seen the US elections being affected, the French elections being affected. So there were a lot of safeguards done by the government. So we just do paper ballots. So that's really not the issue. I think it could happen that if there's something, you know, it has to, the results in each constituency have to be sent, and that's the only electronic thing basically to the federal agency which does all the counting and responsible. So and they boosted all their networks and systems. So if something on the way would happen, it would only delay maybe the results, but I think that's like the worst case scenario. Other than that, they really secured, for example, Germans use it's kind of like an election decider system online, because we have so many parties, and the culture is not necessarily that you are fixed with like by birth through your family you're voting always to this party. It's very fluctuant. So there is this decision making tool online where they ask all the parties, and a lot of voters use that. So they really try to secure this, and you know, because then if you would hack that and like really switch it around, this may affect a few people. So they did that, and then according to if there are leaks, it was heard that the parties kind of did a gentleman agreement to not, if there are leaks only about like a certain person in one party, that they wouldn't exploit it. So that's something they've also done.
And, can you imagine Democrats and Republicans agreeing not to use WikiLeaks against each other? I don't know that we're going to see that kind of gentleman's agreement anytime soon. Now, even if Germans aren't going to the polls to vote based on tech policy, because I don't think most countries do that. I don't think people in the United States vote a lot based on these issues. It's usually people like who are very libertarian or maybe they're you know, they have an interest in the issue. They're a particular type of person. It's kind of a niche thing. But, you know, most people vote because of jobs or, you know, healthcare, things like that affect them more in their daily lives. But we could see the election influence tech policy after the fact. And even if it looks like we're going to have the same coalition that we did before, which might mean status quo, you brought up the FTP, that's the Free Democrats, and that's probably the closest thing to a free market libertarianish party in Germany. But remember, this is Europe, so we're not talking about like the Libertarian Party in the United States where you have like vermin supreme and people running up on stage naked, and it's like a very bizarre situation.
They're still super liberal on any social issues, basically.
Right. Yeah, no, it's similar to libertarians here, but they're much more mainstream, I would say. And, you know, we had some of them come actually to Tech Freedom when they were visiting DC and got to chat with them. And they mentioned how they were not in parliament, but this might be their big comeback. You mentioned they're running a good campaign. Could they, as an opposition party, and maybe some of the Greens or anyone on the left who's skeptical of government power, surveillance, hacking, are they going to influence policy? Or because, you know, if Merkel wins, will she just claim, I have a mandate to do things like the Berlin pilot project and hacking and hoarding vulnerabilities? We had a show about that in the United States with Heather West from Mozilla and Mika Oyang from Third Way about this vulnerabilities equities process, how the government decides when to disclose.
Yeah, which we don't have. So we actually have now an institution in Germany where they are allowed to source vulnerabilities and buy them, but we do not have this process yet. So this is the thing with, like, we are setting up, we are creating powers, but we're not necessarily thinking about it in a broader and holistic scale, which also creates safeguards.
Now, will the FDP play an important role? I mean, if you, I think the number you said, they might get 11%. That would be very, very successful for them, considering they're at zero right now. Can they really influence a government if they're not in the coalition? Can they use things like the press or social media to sound the alarm on some of these behaviors? And will Germans, who are very concerned about security, buy into this message in an age of terrorism and fear?
So I think we can't rule out that they will not be in government. So there's a chance that Merkel's party and FDP go into a coalition.
And so they would have enough there to have a majority?
We'll
or they
see.
Might need a third party.
It
could
be, but they might need a third party. So
yeah.
I think then it will be really interesting to see if the FDP really holds up to their standards and the things they are promoting right now in their campaign, because they're really running on these niche issues which are not necessarily discussed by CDU and SPD as much. So anything like around digital education, tax and these things. And they are really not aligned at all on tech policy with the CDU. So if they are drafting their coalition agreement, it will be very interesting to see if they're really getting in their points or if they're losing out. And that would be a huge loss. And then I think a lot of voters would be super mad and they would be maybe again out of parliament next time. So, that is interesting. And then what is also after the elections, a lot of parties are calling for a person in the chancellery which would have coordination powers among all the ministries to push for more tech and digital ways of government, but also in general that there are more ministries doing more tech policy. So that would be interesting if something like that happens, or if we will have an internet ministry, which I cannot really imagine, because then you would just have to pull out different bits of different ministries.
So the tech policy is kind of spread across the government now. It doesn't live in one place.
No, it doesn't. So, and there's not really a coordination power right now. And so it's moving very slow. And that is also an interesting point in the future.
So I want to hear about actually, you know, as the last thing we talk about, like what you're doing in DC, because you are here in DC recording with me, which is why the audio quality sounds better than it otherwise would. But any final thoughts on the election for tech policy, you know, messages for German lawmakers or, you know, just a prediction? What do you think is going to happen? Feel free to take any or all of it or none of it.
So I would hope that we are not just increasing power, but also really thinking about it in a more realistic way and not necessarily having a more balanced approach for security and freedom and privacy in general. And it's tough and it's hard, but I wish really government would work more together with civil society actors, academia, who where we have really a vast majority of knowledge there, and yeah, really get it right. So if you do it, then just get it right.
And bottom line prediction for this weekend?
Well, I actually would hope that, so if the Free Democrats could get a really good coalition contract done, that would be good. I think if they can't get their points across, they should just go into the opposition and then work really hard there and then grow from there.
Right.
So that would be my hope. But I don't know.
All right. We'll just have to find. And we learn not to trust the polls, right, at this point. I think that they've been wrong so many times that we're done with that. But now, you know, you're in the United States now. You've been making more and more trips here because, as I said, you are the project manager of the Transatlantic Cyber Forum. So you have to cross the Atlantic quite a few times a year. And what is your message essentially to American lawmakers? I know, so we're recording this on Wednesday. Tomorrow, Thursday, you'll be speaking to the Cybersecurity Caucus. On Friday, we'll release the show. But what do you hope to get across to American lawmakers who, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, they don't think about German tech policy much?
I do. So yeah, I think Germany is becoming more and more important also within Europe. And they're really creating new powers. So I think we were far behind for a long time, but that's not the case anymore. So I think Germany is becoming more important in that sense. And then also, there are a lot of things like, for example, government hacking and the vulnerability equities process and in general, surveillance and oversight innovation and these kind of topics, they're really there on both sides of the Atlantic. And what we found now doing these, we really just do like expert workshops and we work on these issues and just kind of exchange ideas and perspectives. And that really helps to come across ideas we might have not come across if we were just sticking to the German bubble or the US bubble. So I think there's huge potential in just exchanging ideas and then coming to better policies in the future.
Well, I hope the talk tomorrow goes well, and I hope that the next time you're in DC, you have even more things to update us on. But that's it for today's show. My guest has been Julia Schütze, project manager of the Transatlantic Cyber Forum at SNV, and also my good friend. And thanks for coming to DC and doing the show, and good luck with your talk.
Thanks for having me.
Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Let us know what you think of the show. If you decide that you want to take direction from an American tech policy show about how to vote in the German election, then I'll plug my recommendation for the FDP. Find us in the iTunes store. Please write us a review because it will help others find the show. Thanks for listening.
The Tech Policy Podcast is produced and distributed by Tech Freedom, a nonpartisan, nonprofit think tank in Washington, D.C. To learn more about our work, make a tax-deductible donation, or find other episodes, find us online at techfreedom.org.